Hey, this is Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, and this is the East Coast Offense Podcast. I'm joined by, as usual, Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. What's going on, Dalton? How are you doing today?
Doing well. Got a little World Series Game 1 action in the background. NBA tips off tonight. My Warriors receive their rings here. So good time. Let's talk some football as well. So a good time for sports.
Yeah, I put in a DFS hoops lineup using the RotoWire Optimizer. Obviously, I know who most of the players are in the NBA. I don't know who all of them are, but I did feel the necessity to just get a lineup in. I also did a $2 entry. There was some overlay in some FanDuel contest, and I got a $25 mega grand slam entry. And like, there's a FanDuel contest that has like, you know, a lot of. It's a big tournament. It's $25, and I got in that. So. I don't even know. You know, I don't really have the patience to check right before tip-off. Maybe I'll get into it and I'll do that like I did for baseball. But I'm just hoping my guys are playing. Opening night, they got to play, right?
Yeah, when it's just three games on the slate, so it's going to be a lot of overlap as well.
Yeah. I'm sure they optimized. I'm sure like 200 people are using that same lineup. Anyway, it sounds like your connection is a lot better than last week. I appreciate it. You're blaming Apple for that?
Well, I mean, since then, I downloaded a newer version of El Capitan, and it's been stuck on restart, trying to reboot my computer since Saturday. And I've been on the phone with people, and now they're telling me to bring it into Best Buy and try to restore all my memory before they wipe it out. Just a big headache. But I have a Yahoo company MacBook as well, and apparently I used it on our podcast this morning, and it seemed to work even better. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
So don't download El Capitan, because I was just offered that like the second before I logged in. Just don't do it, you're saying.
I mean, if you're judging based on my personal experience, I would strongly discourage it.
Wow. I have some Apple stock, too. They actually beat earnings, but the stock, I think it briefly went down and then it went up. But that's not good, man. You just can't be destroying people's ability to use their computer. Anyway, let's talk about last week. I picked the Chiefs for us, which was a great pick. I also picked the Colts for us, which I think I'm the last person to realize how much the Colts suck.
I think we are – this is week 8, so there have been 7 weeks. I think we are probably lost 6 of the 7 weeks involving the Colts game, and I'm not exaggerating. I think it's something like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use them again this week, but we'll talk about it. I was kind of joking in that text that I sent you, but I don't know. I keep thinking, oh, yeah, you know, just when we write them off, Andrew Luck will have a huge game and they'll – it'll suddenly be the Colts. But, man, I keep taking them. And against the Saints, I mean, being down 27-0 at home against the Saints, I mean, there's crack addicts that haven't hit a rock bottom like that.
No, that's pretty bad. It was disgusting. And then I admit I was on the Chargers as well. We both were on that bet. That just looked even worse. 37-6 in the entering the fourth quarter at home. I mean, the Derek Carr entered 1-9 in his career on the road. That was pretty ugly. But I will, back-to-back weeks, the team I went to bat for, it was the Niners last week, and now not only did I have the Giants, which we officially used and they covered, but I really wanted the Cardinals as well, and they would have came through on Monday night if we went with that too. So
don't start taking credit for the Giants and then the would-be Cardinals, please. I don't know if you – did you watch those games? Because obviously you didn't watch those games.
I watched both of them. I watch every game, yes.
The Giants – I mean, I'm a Giants fan.
I was counting on those special teams.
Dwayne Harris revenge. You're probably counting on Dwayne Harris's revenge, weren't you?
You have to factor that in. You'd have to be, short-sighted not to factor that in, especially the speed he has. I mean, come on.
I was counting on the Steve Smith revenge game. That's why I took the Ravens.
All right, well, every Steve Smith.
That's what I mean. He's always in revenge mode. But, I mean, look, they were winning 10-7. They muff a punt. And then Arizona gets two, like, really bullshit penalties. And then they get down to the – and the punt was, like – it was – you know, his knee was arguably down, but because they called it one way on the field, they couldn't reverse it. And then they got, like, a really shaky PI penalty and another shaky penalty. I can't remember what the other one was.
Well, they've already came out. I believe the NFL already apologized. You know, they said that the guy didn't check himself in, the offensive lineman on Baltimore.
Right.
They even admitted that, yeah, he did. That was a mistake.
Well, that was something else. But the guy who caught the ball, that was a different drive. But is that Alex Gordon going deep? Nope. Yeah, I got money on the Royals, actually, for the series with Pianowski and Payne. So I'm hoping they win. But we're obviously watching the game in the background as we do this podcast, and we're not even paying attention to the podcast.
And the Chris Johnson play obviously should have been ruled.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much garbage in that. I mean, the whole thing, and it was like, so there was one legit pass interference against Gresham where they tackled him in the end zone, but they're already at the five at that point on all these bad calls. And the Ravens were certainly not – they should not have been 7.5-point dogs. They were – that game was pretty much equal teams. Maybe Arizona was ever so slightly better, but that was too big a line based on the quality of play that night. So I'm not going to give you credit for that. Obviously, at the end, I don't know what Arizona was doing. They didn't – they ran out of bounds. They threw the ball instead of running out clock. And then Palmer, instead of taking the sack, does a grounding, which is the worst of both worlds. Not only does it stop the clock – but it made it like 3rd and 19, and there was no way they were going to get a first.
Yes, it was like a sack, only with the clock stopped. Right. It was. I had no problem with Ellington going out of bounds. I mean, he got the first down. That was huge on third down. You know, I would have been better if he dove in, you know. But whatever, the first down there, I thought the game was over. And, yeah, I don't understand the throwing the ball away. That was really bad. And we didn't use him in Super Contest, but I used him in Survivor, and I had a teaser. I did the Sunday night game, Carolina, and then Arizona had a -2.5. And I would have just been so infuriated if they, because of that missed extra point, made it a 16-point game. I was just sure that the Ravens were going to score a touchdown at the end to bring it within two and then not get the 2-point conversion and have me lose by half a point on that teaser. I just thought for sure that was happening. But somehow I recovered. They recovered, and all is good.
Yeah, it was pretty damn close to happening, actually, too. The other crazy thing was the Ravens get the ball back, and the cart, and they're like going nowhere. They're getting like little 6-yard gains.
And they blitz.
No timeouts. And they blitz. They blitz. I mean, why are you blitzing there? There's no need. There's just no need. And they get like a 40-yard play, and now they're in business.
Yeah, I'm aware. I was
okay,
watching.
So don't claim that one, okay? And then the Giants, I'm telling you, man, I'm a Giants fan. They're in first place, and I'm like, this team is not a serious contender. They have no defense. They can't stop Matt Cassel and Darren McFadden. You know, this is not a serious team. So, all right, but whatever. We went 3-2. At least we're better. I was hoping the Giants were going to win by 3 in a way just so we could go 2-1-1 for the third straight week, because that's, like, impossible.
It's pretty difficult. You know, I'm in trouble this week because it's not that I don't specifically love a couple, but I do like this slate in general, probably more so than I have in a while. So I don't know what that means. It probably means that I'm going to do poorly. But
right.
My early instincts are all these games came fairly easy to me.
Right. It's like you don't know shit. And then so if you feel strongly, that's bad, right?
Probably.
But if you don't feel strongly, it means you're in tune because you don't know shit and you don't know. It's like everything's right. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much, okay. Yes.
All right. So let's go through these games. By the way, have you watched the show Black Mirror on
Netflix? Yeah. It's one of the best shows ever. No question.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You the best shows ever. Okay. I only watched two of them. I watched the first one, which is a little ridiculous. I don't think he would have really gone through with it no matter what. I mean, if you're the prime minister, you know, you're not doing that. And then
I actually really liked the first one, but that's by far the most like straightforward one. All the others become a lot different. They're far more more out of the box, let's say.
Okay. The second one I liked. I thought it was good. Okay. Let's go through some of these.
A great show and recommend that. And it's very – I think they're just – each season's, what, 3 episodes? And then there was a Christmas special with John Hamm. So I'm pretty sure they're just 7 total.
Okay. Well, I've watched 2 of them. So something else that my friend recommended to me. So, okay. Let's start with the Thursday night game. Actually, I got to bring up the lines because I realized that I made up my own lines and then I made my pick before – so I'm going to tell you my lines that I made up first. Not that anyone cares, but maybe it'll be interesting. I thought the Dolphins would be +9, and they ended up being +8. I thought if the Jets are +9, why aren't the Dolphins +9?
Yeah, obviously the Dolphins have looked fantastic since firing Philbin, and they've looked really, really good. But this is a short week, and I just New England is so good. They didn't even play well at all last week and still nearly cover that 10-point spread. Love the Jets. We went over our
We were so lucky on that, Jets.
I mean, over our covers, but how about them doing the Madden style where you kick the field goal and then go for the onsider? But a 55-yarder on, I think it was first or second down, that was pretty incredible. So
yeah, the craziest thing ever was it was a 50-yarder, which for Nick Folk is makeable, and then some moron got a false start penalty on a field goal. Like, you don't have to block anyone on a field goal. Just stand still. And I was like, are you kidding me, man? Really? We have the cover. We have a good chance at the cover. It's a 50-yarder. It's like a 60% kick for him. You're going to make Nick Folk kick a 55-yarder now? Are you kidding me? And he made it. Again, yes, it's like the Pulp Fiction thing. It's like, you know, it's almost worth him keying his car to catch him keying his car. It's almost worth the penalty and the anguish to see him make the 55-yarder.
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing. But they got, what, 1.8 yards per carry? Brady got 6.6 YPA or something like that, and he still had a double-digit lead like that. I mean, against a very good Jets team, as far as I'm concerned. So, short week, traveling. I know that New England has some problems on the offensive line, but this team, I don't know, they might go undefeated. So, I'm going to lay the points here.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami. They have played the Pats well in recent years. I don't know, you know, obviously it's a different coach. Who knows? But some of the personnel are similar. I think New England's offensive line's a little bit weak. I know Brady gets rid of the ball quickly, but Miami does have a good pass rush. And I think that Miami will move the ball against this team. This New England defense is smart, but it's not that good. And so I think they'll. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's never going to be smooth every single game. I like Miami here. And I think the public is going to be on New England after, I think the Jets game, even though New England didn't cover, people who had New England probably were fine with that side.
Yeah, Miami's looked pretty good the last 2 weeks, so maybe people are really buying into that. But just in general, New England's usually the public side, no matter who they play.
Yeah. All right, I'm taking the Dolphins, so we're not using that one, obviously. All right, then it's Lions. You know, I guess +4 because I didn't even realize this was in London. This is in London also?
Yes.
Every week's in London now? What's the deal with this?
No, this is the last one, I believe. This is the last
one. Is Yahoo going to stream this one?
No, this is back to
CBS. You
don't
have to set the alarm and deal, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, this is probably going to be Fox because it's the NFC's the road team, so it'll probably be Fox. But, yeah, I DVR it is what I do, us on the West Coast. I DVR it, then wake up, you know, around 8:30, and you can watch that game in an hour, hour and a half, just fast-forwarding through all the nonsense. It's actually pretty – it's better than the pregame shows.
Oh, of course it's better than the pregame shows, except the Yahoo show, obviously, is what you mean to say.
Exactly. Yes, I meant on TV. I meant on TV. You can watch that on your computer.
Funny? Like, I never watch anything. I don't care. I don't care what anyone's saying. But I did just for the hell of it. I think it was like week two. Just check out the Fantasy Live show because I used to be on it.
Yes, you did for years. Yeah,
for like 4 years, 5 years, and it's really good. It's much better than when I was on it. I was watching it. I mean, the production's better, but like Barron's is really good. I don't like to say nice things about other people because I just think most of the people in the industry are. Crap, you know. Wait, is this really recorded? Not most, but I just think a lot of this like glad handling that goes on, like everybody who's got a job is such a genius. Like, no, they're not. A lot of them are whatever. But I have to say, like, that show is good. That show is actually good. I was like, wow, it's actually a good show.
Well, I was going to make a wisecrack saying addition by subtraction is why it got better once you left. But you were complimenting Yahoo, so thank you. Yeah,
I mean, whatever. I mean, I feel like I could do one, but they didn't lose anything for sure. And also because Barron's, I got in before Barron's was like doing the TV stuff, so I just was a guy. But like they had a dude who like they obviously could use. It was perfectly good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought it was good. It's probably been crappy except for that one, but that was the one I saw. This one, so I didn't realize it was in London, but so I made it, but it's funny thinking it was in London. I thought it'd be Lions +4 and it's Lions plus, I mean, thinking it was in Kansas City, I thought it'd be Lions +4 and it turns out it's 4.5, almost 5 in some way, in some places. I'll say 4.5, on a neutral field. So that surprised me that the Chiefs would be that much better on a neutral field in Detroit.
I had very similar thoughts. I looked at this spread, and I was kind of waffling which one. I was kind of leaning toward Detroit, thinking it was an Arrowhead. And then I realized that it was a neutral site, and I'm like, oh, well, that spread made sense to me that it was tough for me to pick in Kansas City. So I'm just exactly what you said, basically. So the fact that it is neutral, yeah, that's great. Kansas City finally won. Detroit made some coaching changes on the offensive staff. But both teams are pretty abysmal. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to take the points here for sure.
Yeah, these are like two shitty teams that, I mean, I guess KC's defense is better, but, you know, I think Detroit's offense is better, right, with no Jamal Charles. I mean, I think Detroit has a better offense. KC has a better defense. They're two kind of shitty teams. They're playing each other. It's a neutral field, and one of them's getting 4.5 points.
Exactly.
Just easy. Yeah. Okay. So we'll think about that. I never want to make the Lions one of my teams. There's this guy on Twitter. I forget his name, but he's pretty smart. I forgot to follow him. Rob Pizza or something. And he's like this better guy. I don't know if that's his real name. But he was complaining about the Lions game and how they were like totally giving the game away last week. And I was like, dude, you forfeit the right to complain if you take the Lions. I mean, you can't take the Lions and then when stupid stuff happens be like, they should have covered. Because I mean, what did you think you were getting into?
No, I mean, yes. Jim Caldwell. That's all you need
but
to know.
But also the Chiefs are just like that, too. So this is kind of an, you know, it's kind of an even match between ineptitude. So, okay, we like the Lions.
Yeah, Andy Reid is, I mean, maybe he's always had his, you know, his in-game management problems. But, man, it seems like he's the game might have passed him by or something. He's, as, you know, as bad as ever.
Yeah, it's like the game passed him by, and then he stayed, and then it passed him by even further. Then it lapped him. You know what I mean? it got ahead of him the second time, you know. He did. All right, so we'll skip that, but we'll go back to it. Then we got Minnesota is minus one at Chicago. Now, I thought they were actually going to be minus three. Actually, I had minus 2.5, actually, when I made my – it's not that different, I guess.
Yeah, that's not a huge difference.
That's what I guessed. But I have a lean on this. Who do you like here?
I don't have a strong lean on this. I'm probably going to be different than you. I'm going to go ugly and take the Bears coming off their bye. They really have not been as bad as many expected, and even if their record suggests as much. With Cutler in, they've been totally different. Alshon Jeffrey healthy now. So I'm just going to, you know, take the home team.
Me too. I have the Bears winning 20-16. I think the Vikings are a bit smoke and mirrors. And I think Cutler, it's like he's gone – I like what I see from Cutler this year, believe it or not. I think he's gone through the bottom. Like, he's hit rock bottom, realized he's just a total despised internet joke, and now he just really doesn't give a fuck. Like, he used to not give a fuck, like he didn't care about trying, but now it just seems like he's just like, I don't care how crappy my team is, like, I'm just going to go out. And he seems like he's played well.
Yeah, he has, and a lot of that was without Jeffrey and really, you know, not very good receivers as well. I was just reading something that coaching staff says he's been more vocal because of that, and he's kind of actually, like, quote-unquote, leading better than he has in the huddle and whatnot. And now he does have Jeffrey back, so, yeah, he's played pretty well. I wouldn't base this game off the records from so far. I think this is basically a toss-up, so I'd go with the home team.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe we'll use it. But it's fine. So that's interesting that there was reporting on that, because I'm just watching him play, and I'm like, he's not the sad, depressed guy that he was the last couple of years.
No, they said because he was using, like, you know, no-name receivers, young guys, he's actually, they said, stepped up and been more vocal than they've seen in you know, since he's arrived in Chicago, and they said that's really benefited him.
Yeah, and there's, like, no expectations for the team whatsoever.
None. Yeah,
so it's there's no, okay, we got Cutler and Marshall and Jeffrey and Forte. This should be a Super Bowl team. Like, why isn't he playing? You know, there's none of that. Nobody cares anymore. Okay, so how about Tampa plus +7 in Atlanta? I have to say I like this one of the least, but I do have a team that I picked.
I could see this going either way, Atlanta getting right at home. But they just seem kind of – they just have not played well lately, specifically Matt Ryan. And Tampa Bay, on the other hand, has. Their defense is obviously not good whatsoever, so that's a little bit scary. But Jameis Winston, the last couple of games, has cut the turnovers and cut the sacks. And Mike Evans is finally getting a nice rapport. Doug Martin runs the ball, even Charles Sims. This offense is frisky. I mean, maybe Safarian Jenkins returns. I think in this divisional game, they can keep it within a touchdown. So I'm going to take the points.
I took them, too. I think it'll be like 31-30 like last week. And Atlanta will score and easily. But I think Tampa will keep up. And what if Winston's really good? I mean, I think he may end up – everyone's like laughing after the first week. Oh, Mariota's team blew out Winston's team. What an idiot. They took the – how could you take Winston over Mariota? But that was a bit premature after one game.
It really had, yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Tennessee, even before Mariota got hurt, they were seizing scoring on offense. I mean, they were struggling.
Yeah. All right, so we agree on that. How about the Giants plus +3 now at New Orleans? I have a read on this one, but I'm not strong on it. Who do you like?
All right, well, New Orleans has surprisingly played a lot better after I basically completely wrote them off, and they're kind of going to the formula that they wanted entering the year, kind of grinded out a little bit better defense, running the ball. But I'm still not sure if that home field advantage exists like it used to. And surprisingly, they could be a 500 team if they do win this game. But I always like the Giants when they're underdogs. I still think that they can then move the ball. I don't know really what's going on as far as Odell Beckham. I don't know if it's a health issue or what, but he can't separate. But I do like the Giants when everyone starts to write them off. And I feel like that's the case with them. And I like them in an underdog spot here.
Yeah, I like them too for the same reasons you said. A couple things about Beckham. It was really annoying when Ben McAdoo explained why they weren't giving the ball. It was just kind of this coach speak, like, well, sometimes he's covered, sometimes he's not. We don't, you know. But Beckham actually explained that the Cowboys doubled him, dropped a safety on him. They really just went all out to stop him. And there's, unfortunately, you know, Reuben Randle is not really a guy that steps up that much. But also, Delvin Bro is going to be on Beckham. So you have a good corner. I don't know. It may be better for him if they keep it one-on-one, but they really blanketed him. He also said his hamstring is getting gradually better. So I don't know if Beckham's going to have a big game, but it's anyway, that's what's going on with him.
And Orleans might ball in New Orleans.
You think they're going to play well in New Orleans?
No, Orleans. Isn't that his name? Your future star running back?
Oh, the dark horse you're talking about.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's his first name is Orleans, right? I never thought about it. I should start him in some DFS for that. That's a good enough reason.
Yeah,
he could. But look, the Giants had four running backs, and the Orleans Darko led them in carries with eight, and each of them had at least four. So that's about as bad as it gets. I mean, between all four backs had between four and eight carries.
Yeah, that's not conducive for fantasy teams.
No, it's not good. But he did look good. He did break a couple tackles for a touchdown. I think the Giants will win. I think they're going to be able to throw on them, even if Bro does a good job on Beckham, which he may or may not. I think the other guys will get loose. I think the D is kind of soft in New Orleans. And I think that the Giants' D is not especially good. And Ingram will have a good day. But New Orleans doesn't really throw deep. I mean, I can't remember them connecting on a deep pass this year. Has anyone caught a deep pass for them?
They attempted one to Brandon Cooks. I have Cooks.
Right, just missed it. They just missed.
But yes, I don't remember a connection.
And when you have a guy who is 5'10", 185, or whatever Brandon Cooks is, 195, it's hard to throw a deep ball to him. He's got to be wide open, and you got to time it just right. It's just so much easier when you have, you know, Dez Bryant, and you just chuck the ball. And the ball can be short, it can be underthrown, it can be whatever, and he's just going to get it.
And Breeze, you know, never had the strongest arm to begin with, and that, you know, 5 years ago, let alone now with maybe a still damaged shoulder. So
yeah. So I like the Giants. I'm not huge on them, though. The Giants can fall apart so easily, but I will take them, too. All right, moving on. We have got the – this is your team, the Niners. Wow, they went all the way up to 8.5. People just despise them. in St. Louis. I had a lean on this. I thought I predicted the line actually would be 10, and then I saw it open at 7. But what do you like?
Yeah, well, 8.5-point spread is actually massive when you consider the over-under is 39.5.
Right.
I think they despise the Niners, rightfully so. They look like a joke. There's problems in the locker room from coaching to the locker room split on Colin Kaepernick. The Rams play the division typically well. The biggest problem the Niners have is that offensive line, and when they get a pass rush onto Kaepernick, it usually is problems. And obviously, this Rams defensive front is stout. Todd Gurley, he may run for 400 yards in this game. I don't know what else to say other than I expect the Rams in a rout.
Yeah, I had 31-13 Rams. So you and I are in this. We agree on everything. It's so weird. You know we're going to lose because we both think this is easy. I'm not doing well this year. And we agree on all these games. I just think they're going to kill them. I predicted it would be 10. I was like, yeah, this will be 10. And then it was 7, and now it's up to 8.5. It may be 10 by the time they kick it off. But, yeah, I'm definitely laying the wood here.
Yeah, I put a star next to this
one. So we can do it. I mean, it's just there's just no reason this shouldn't be a blowout. They're just going to do exactly what Seattle did. They're going to come in, the defensive line is going to get in Kaepernick's face, and then St. Louis is just going to run the ball all day. It's going to be too easy. Okay, we got Arizona at Cleveland. I did not like this game at all. I predicted it would be, I don't know why people care, but I like trying to guess the lines. I predicted it would be Cardinals -6, and it's actually -5 right now. It's 5.5 in some places. But who do you like in this game?
You know, I'm beginning to think Arizona might not be as great as I once thought. I don't want to overrate just recency, but they have to travel on a, you know, playing on a short week, and assuming Josh McCown is healthy, which I think this line reflects they must expect him to play, I'm going to go Cleveland. They're a feisty team. They should be able to keep this close enough at home. I'm taking the home dog.
Yeah, I had the score 27-23 Cardinals, which makes it a Cleveland cover. I don't like it. I don't feel strong about it, but I think so. And you know, Manziel might be good. He played okay when he came in. You know, even if it's him. It's not like downgrading from Tyrod Taylor to E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, E.J. Manuel, that was one of the roughest quarter and a half you'll see a quarterback ever play.
Yeah, it's so funny how delusional Stopa was about the Bills being a contender this year. And finally on Twitter, he admitted that he was like, okay, it's over for the Bills. Like, he finally, I was like, oh, you realize it's over now. I'm so shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I among many thought their defense would be better. On paper, it looked better, and the Rex Ryan. But yeah, he proclaimed they had the best roster, you know, 2 through 52, right, other than quarterback. And the funny thing is that Taylor might end up being far better than expected, but the rest of that roster is going to be a big disappointment.
Yeah, it's garbage. Maybe he's thinking about 40 through 53. They're strong.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they're really good at sort of the reserve special teams guys. Okay, so let's go to this is really interesting. So Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. I thought this line was going to be Bengals plus 3 with Roethlisberger back.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that Roethlisberger plays, I like Pittsburgh at home here. It's Cincinnati minus 1 or like, 1.5.
I know Cincinnati's a better team this year, but undefeated Cincinnati coming into Pittsburgh off a bye, not off a bye, but with Roethlisberger coming back, I just felt like this is a, you know, this is just, they're basically equal. And one of them's at home. I don't know. It just seemed like, why is Cincinnati laying points? I know they're undefeated, but these two teams, it just, I really like Pittsburgh getting points at home. Even though it's just 1.5, I'm really happy to take that.
Oh, I mean, I really believe Cincinnati's for real, no question. But, man, this Pittsburgh team, their defense is a lot better than you thought. And obviously, if Roethlisberger returns, their offensive unit could just be great. I mean, they lost in New England, whatever. But they've had some nice wins, and sure, I don't really understand that spread either. But I guess the point is that maybe even if Roethlisberger plays, he might be hobbled. He said last week he had trouble with it after practicing; it ached on him. So I guess that could be an issue. So this isn't a game that I'd like to pick in the Super Contest, but I'm definitely leaning toward Pittsburgh in the staff picks.
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought Cincinnati would be getting points, maybe the full 3. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it were 2.5. Hosmer
right.
Hit a sack fly. It looks like got to run back for the Royals. I love the play-by-play updates in a podcast that people are going to listen to well after this game is over. Okay, San Diego at Baltimore. San Diego is getting 3. I thought San Diego would be – I predicted they were going to get 3.5 just because they suck so much. And Baltimore's been losing, but they're sort of credible. Baltimore shows up every game and loses by a small margin and sometimes like on the road in Arizona. So I like the Ravens here, man. I think they're just better than the Cardinals. I think the Ravens D played better against Arizona, and they're at home. I have 27-20 Ravens.
Yeah, the San Diego has to travel across the country and play at 10 a.m. morning clock, you know, game clock or body clock time for them. Baltimore is crazy that they're 1-6, and last, you know, this week's 8-point deficit was their largest of the season. So they've been in every game. Having said that, I'm going San Diego. I like Rivers and the Giants for some reason, just like with the Giants. I like when they're just underdogs and just everyone kind of writes them off. And I can't see how you couldn't write them off at this point, how bad their defense has looked. So I think these are two fairly equal teams. Maybe the difference is, you know, the 3 points because Baltimore's at home. But I don't love this one by any means, but I'm actually going to go ugly and go the Chargers.
I can see it. I don't feel that strongly about it. You know, last week we liked San Diego, and like a few people pointed out, San Diego has no home field advantage.
Right. No, I know. Did you hear how loud that was? I mean, this is the Raiders. I mean, they travel. I guess obviously a California team, but man, it was at least half the people were rooting for Oakland.
That's just embarrassing. I mean, that's terrible. And then, so there was that, and just how? Yeah, you're right. I mean, Derek Carr shredded them. It was just too easy. So, all right, I'm with you. All right, now this one,
you're not with me though. No, you're not.
I mean, sorry, I'm not. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm with you on. I'm watching this Mets game. I'm distracted. I'm with you on the sentiment that San Diego is better on the road, but I'm still taking Baltimore. It's like two desperate animals, but I think Baltimore. They, you know, they were knocking on the door. Well, I guess San Diego was knocking on the door in Green Bay
right,
a couple weeks
right.
ago. Just like they're knocking on the door in Arizona. There's so much parity, you know, except for New England.
For some reason, I've always just thought like San Diego and the Giants are two teams that I could see them losing to anyone and being highly competitive to anyone. I mean, maybe that's just crazy, anecdotal stuff, but that's just how I've kind of viewed them in the past 3-4 years.
Yeah, I'm still going to take Baltimore, but I hear you. Tennessee plus 4 at Houston. Now, I thought Zach Mettenberger was better than he showed in the game against Atlanta, but I still don't think Mariota Mettenberger is like a really big deal. Like this line is off. Like, oh, you know, Mariota may or may not play. To me, it's not like Ben Roethlisberger playing. Some rookie who had a good first game and has been very mediocre since. And him or Mettenberger doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah, that's why there are some places that will give you 4.5 now. And I think it's extremely unclear who's going to start at quarterback. right now. So Vegas might reflect that itself. Although, yeah, there's some.
I'm saying, why does the line need to be off the board just because of the Mariota mystery? I mean, who cares?
Well, I'm saying some casinos have it on, is what I'm saying. Yeah. You're right. Some don't. You're right. But
oh no, if people take Houston and then Mariota doesn't play, what'll happen?
I don't think it would change.
Who cares?
Much.
What's the difference? It's got to be a point at most.
Put the
line up. I mean, it's not. Anyway, I have Houston here, man. I think they're just gonna wake up. I say that every week, but Tennessee sucks.
They kept it within 3 points of Atlanta. Houston sucks. I mean, they're terrible.
Houston sucks, but they have like personnel at least. I mean, Tennessee doesn't even have good players.
You're just thinking of like the stars, or whatever. Sure, I mean, there's J.J. Watt and Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins, but I mean, no Arian Foster. That can't help. All talk about running backs being fungible, but sometimes they do actually matter here and there. And he's a guy that was a receiver, really good there too. And their replacements are garbage. So why is this spread not 3? I'll take the extra point and a half. Titans.
All right, I'll take the Texans. All right, so maybe you want to do $20 on that?
This is definitely not one that I planned on doing.
No. I don't feel strongly about it, but just,
All right, $20 at 4.5 points.
You seem fired up about it. I just, would you have 4 points?
No, 4.5 is what it shows. What is Vegas?
It opened at 4.5. It's 4 now.
All right, that's fine. I printed it off when I looked at this earlier.
So $20, 4, okay?
Okay, fine.
Email me too, because we're never going to go back over this and listen to it again, ever again. Okay. Okay, so at least we got something out of that. Jets. It's funny, this Jets game, I thought the Jets would be -3, and they're -2, 2.5. It looks like 2 is the final resting place for it. What do you like here?
Oakland's obviously very improved. They're a decent team that continues to get better. Amari Cooper looks like the real deal. Derek Carr looks like possibly the long-term answer. But I just think the Jets are maybe one of the 5 best teams in the NFL. And, why is this not 3 points? I actually starred this one. The St. Louis and the Jets are the two that I had I earmarked as one I might go to bat for in Super Contest, because I think the Jets are really, really good.
I also put the Jets as one of the 5 I would pick. So we're going to book this one. I just think they're going to win this game, and if it's -3, I'm taking it.
Exactly.
All right, Seattle -6 at Dallas. How do you feel about this one?
I changed my original instinct was going Dallas. Seattle by no means has looked great this year, but you know what? I went back and I looked at their schedule, and most of their losses were against legit teams like Carolina, and they had a big lead in Cincinnati. Yes, I know there was a fumble return for a touchdown, and I don't want to overrate them annihilating my horrible 49ers team, but I think they're kind of coming together, and it's Matt Cassel. He's terrible at football. They don't have a great home field in Dallas, so I think I'm going to go on record here and say Seattle actually ends up winning the NFC West over the Cardinals, and they get it together in the second half, and they win this game by at least a touchdown.
I had 20-13 Seahawks. So I was right on the margin before I looked at the line. Wow, base hit Royals tying it up. They're just so relentless, man. They just don't go away. All right, so puts me in a good mood. I got to bet on them. So I'm going to take Seattle. I don't like it that much. The thing that makes me a little nervous is, A, the public's going to be all over Seattle, especially after last week. B, Dallas beat the crap out of them last year in Seattle.
Yeah, I had them on. I had Seattle and Survivor that I really remember that vividly. It was their only home loss in like 2 years.
Right, and it wasn't that the score was close, but it was just if you watch the game, they just own them.
Yeah, and Romo and Dez Bryant, I believe, suited up in that game.
Yeah, no, yes, I understand that, but it was a physical dump. I think like Seattle's so fast and nimble on defense, but I wonder if that Dallas O line isn't just going to plow them over and keep this close. That's the only thing. I'm still taking Seattle, but it's
certainly. Yeah, and in our podcast this morning for Yahoo Fantasy Freak Show, we look over streaming defenses, and both Brad Evans and myself picked Dallas,
right?
Actually, because, I mean, they're obviously available in most fantasy leagues, and Russell Wilson has taken 31 sacks this season. That is not a misprint, 31 sacks, and, Gregory's back, and Greg Hardy might be, an animal, but he can rush the passer.
But
so
he's an animal.
He's an animal.
He might be an animal, but then again, he's also an animal.
He is both. So that's a sneaky like fantasy thing. So that gives me pause. Well, if I kind of like Dallas fantasy defense, why am I picking Seattle to win? And normally I like favorites in fantasy defenses, but I'll contradict myself and I still say Seattle wins. But you're right. Maybe it's a 20-13 type game, and that could equal a decent fantasy day for Dallas D and Seattle winning a low scoring affair.
Right. I also took Dallas's D as a cheap D as one of my options in a daily, and that's the same reason. I thought, you know, Dallas actually does get to the passer, and this is a terrible offensive line. All right, so we're not going to use that one, so it doesn't really matter.
No.
Okay, so this is really interesting. I knew somebody tweeted this line out, unfortunately, so I couldn't guess it wrongly. I thought it was going to be Green Bay plus three, and it's Green Bay minus three. I really thought the line would be Green Bay plus three, and that makes me really nervous. Like, I feel like I have to take Denver, but I'm sure most of the money is going to be on Denver. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying as far as when lines look so out of whack, you usually want to take the team that it looks out of whack on because Vegas knows something or something. Like last week was a great example in college football. I don't follow college that much, but do you realize that the number three team was it was 3.5 points, and by game time, they were 6.5 point underdogs to an unranked team?
Yeah, USC Utah, right? I heard about that.
Yeah, so I hammered USC. It's easy to say now. Don't worry, I get plenty wrong. But I hammered USC because that line just looked absurd. And sure enough, they boat raced them. So this is another one like that. I agree with you. I would have said Denver minus three. Denver
what,
looks like...
Who set this line and why is it moving?
I mean, it's pretty cool. This is prime time and both teams coming off a bye. And it's the first time in a long time that two teams this late in the season face each other undefeated. But, I, you know, like DVOA, last I checked, Denver's was literally last in the NFL on offense. I mean, I think people are kind of on to the fact that they've fluky defensive touchdowns and an easier schedule kind of makes them seem like a fraud at 6-0. But they still have a home field advantage. And Green Bay, we've talked about this before on this podcast, they're like a 500 team on the road. You know, I mean, they're a team that really relies on – at home they might be a 15-1 team. But on the road, you know, they're beatable. So, I mean, that Randall Cobb hasn't looked great. Their running game hasn't looked great. So, as much as I want to fade this Denver team, I'm going to take the points in the home dog here. But I agree with you that the lineup's so absurd, it almost makes you want to go contrarian.
Yeah, that's exactly my thing. And I have Denver, I have Green Bay 21-20, but I knew the line, so I cheated. I was going to make maybe Denver 21-20, but it is crazy. Like, Green Bay's offense is not working. Eddie Lacy is a shell of his former self. The offensive line isn't good. Randall Cobb is just a possession guy. I mean, what's he going to really do? And then you've got a bunch of guys like James Jones and, you know, Ty Montgomery. I think he's hurt still. And Davante Adams maybe comes back, but who the hell is he?
Who knows? Yeah.
And they're going against the Jets and the Broncos, the two elite defenses in football. And I don't understand how they're laying wood. Yes, Green Bay's D isn't bad, and Peyton's going to have a tough time throwing on them, but seems 50-50, these teams.
I never like over-unders. I don't even look at them very often, but 46 points, that seems like it could be an under to me.
Yeah, but it's so crazy to say that with an Aaron Rodgers-Peyton Manning matchup that you're like, 46, that's way too high for those scrubs.
Right, all the more reason I like it then. That's the general thought then. Hopefully,
probably.
You know.
I have 21-20, so that's an under. So I'm going to skip. I don't have any, who knows. I'll just watch the game.
I'm picking Denver, but definitely not for our super contest.
Yeah, I put Denver down in my picks too, but I've been running bad, so I'm sure Green Bay will cover. Okay, so last one on Monday night, we got Indy, who's just, as we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, just killed us this year. And we could probably use 6.5 or 7, which is a big difference because it's kind of half and half here on these lines. I have a lean here, but go ahead and you give me yours.
I do not have a lean. I know you're going to talk me into going the Colts again, and it's just funny at this point. So I guess you just – because it's not just that we backed them every time and they lose. The one week we decided to go against them, and they hit the backdoor cover against the Patriots. So it's just been a comedy of errors. But and Carolina, well, they're really good. So I'm going to pick Carolina at home in prime time against an awful Colts team. I mean, you remove the name brand of Andrew Luck. I mean, this team sucks on defense. Terrible offensive line.
Terrible.
I mean, this secondary is just going to smother these Colts receivers. It's not going to give them any time to look downfield. Terrible coaching. Terrible GM. I mean, but again, crazy things happen, and they're probably due for some bounces their way and all that, and Carolina's due for some regression the other way, and they're not a team that exactly steps on opponents' throats. You know, they're typically close games, so I'm probably wrong, but I refuse to pick the Colts as far as this setting. You can, of course, talk me into super contest because we'll just go down with that ship.
No, I actually don't really want to use him for the Super Contest. I totally agree.
Coward.
Okay, we'll see. Maybe later in the week I'll get the courage to step up and lay my entire reputation on the line just for the Colts. But here's the thing. On paper, you think this offensive line sucks, and Carolina's going to be in the backfield all day. And, you know, the thing that happened to Andrew Luck against the Saints was even when he did have time, and he did on some occasions, he was like Jason Campbell. He was holding the ball way too long, and he would get sacked. I'm like, dude, get rid of the goddamn ball, right? I mean, you're finally getting some protection for once, and you're just not able to release the ball. Either his receivers weren't getting open, or he's just not trusting them. I mean, Dante Moncrief is like 6'2", 210, and fast, maybe a little bigger than that even. Just chuck it up. Let him make a play. I can't stand it when they hold on to the ball too long. And Luck himself is also not being good. And maybe he's shell-shocked because he's been under assault all year, but he did not play well against the Saints. Like, I watched that game, and it was bad. And I had them in Survivor, even though I had Seattle ahead of them on my list, and I foolishly took them. So I'm out. That was my rebuy pool that ceased to be rebuy in week 7.
Oh, man, so the Colts are really, really
I hate the Colts, but they owe me. See, the thing is, now they owe me. But the flip side is, okay, so that's all true. And Carolina's D should kill them. And Cam Newton is very good. And, you know, who cares who the receivers are? They're going to move the ball. They're going to throw to different guys, whatever. And Jonathan Stewart probably have 300 yards. But the thing is, you know, that's all true based on what happened, you know, in the first 7 weeks. And I just think, like, you think all that, and then you watch the team play, and their offensive line starts blocking for once, and he lights them up. And I also think that these teams like the Bengals and the Panthers, they're 6-0, and it's very shiny. But I do think that they're not that good at teams. They're 11-5 teams, maybe, those two teams. They're not 13-3. Now, maybe I'm wrong. They'll maybe go 13-3 because of their start. But I think the quality of those teams is not 13-3. So you're talking about a pretty good team going against a team. You know, maybe the Colts are a 7-9, 8-8 team. But maybe the Colts get it together. So I don't know.
I generally agree with you, but I will say that it's easier to like a team dominating on offense and with its passing attack. And Carolina, I mean, is really, really good defense. Probably it's you named the Jets and Broncos, but they're number three, and they run the ball, which is old school football. But, I mean, that's not, you know, it's tougher to say that, yeah, that team's legit getting it done that way. But their defense is really good. I mean, Cam Newton was, what, picked off three times against the Eagles, and that game was hardly even ever in doubt, even with that.
Yeah. That's true,
but you're probably right. I mean, I wouldn't bet on.
I don't know. I'm not gonna suggest Indy for the Super Contest. I guess I just have a feel. Here's what it is. I think the logic dictates Carolina, and I'm just so sick of Indianapolis. Like, assuming they're going to be good, and the thing that was sort of the last straw for me was that Luck did not play well. It wasn't just the offensive line. Once they get that together, he was holding the ball too long, and I don't know if that's because his guys couldn't get open, or he's hurt. I don't know if he's hurt. I just think, like, he's just not right. Like, he's whatever's happened the first several weeks, maybe the injury contributed and he's out of sync or his timing's off, but he was not right. But I just have this weird feeling that, you know, in the NFL, you can be like completely clear on like what the two teams' strengths or weaknesses are. And you can imagine the matchup and you've got it all queued up and you'll be like, this guy's going to run for 1 million yards on this crappy defense and whatever. And then the game happens and it's just not like that at all. Suddenly the team that had the terrible offensive line, like, suddenly the quarterback's getting protected. And this defense that was totally porous, they're tackling the running back. Sometimes that just happens. And
I'd almost argue it happens more often than not.
It happens so often, right? And because of that, I sometimes think these sort of perfect alignments of – I mean, sometimes it happens the other way. When the Browns were facing Gurley last week, everyone's like, Gurley's going to go for 200 yards. And he was cheap in DFS, and I used him everywhere because he kind of had to. And then he did. Right? So you're like, oh, yeah, it really happened. But when it actually happens the way everyone says it is, that's more noteworthy. That's like so noteworthy. It's like, oh, it really did happen that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's sometimes you just got to just go contrarian. Last week we did that in SuperCon. It's the best example I could think of the year is, and I give you credit for going for it, was the Chiefs. I mean, that was as ugly as it gets, really. I mean, Landry looked good coming in, but, you know, he was a third stringer behind. They brought in Michael Vick for a reason. Not that Landry played terribly, but, you know, that was one that I'm guessing that 90% of the public was on the Steelers in that game. I haven't looked, but I'm guessing it was a ton. And it was just one of those hold your nose. And it goes against everything we've seen in the past 5 weeks. But lo and behold, the Chiefs came out, you know, they won.
Yeah. No, I'm going to take Indy for that reason, but I'm not going to use them in the Super Contest. So here's who I wrote down for the Super Contest, believe it or not. You had two, right? You had the Jets and the Rams, and I'm totally fine with the Rams, even though they weren't one of my original five. So we'll lock in those two.
Okay.
But here are the ones I just wrote down. I wrote them down quickly. The Bears, the Steelers, the Texans. You're not going to do that one because we have a bet. Or if I were to step up, then we would void the bet.
Right.
And then the Jets. And then I wrote down the Colts, but I'm not going to do it. I kind of wrote that down as like, okay, I'm going to push this again. But I think if we take those four, and the Jets are one of yours too, and the Rams, I'm good with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I picked the Steelers and the Bears. You're not even going against me, so you don't need to talk me into too much.
The Texans are the only one that we're opposite.
Yeah, so let's and if you want
that last one,
yes, exactly.
I may step up for it, but there may be another one that we like better.
Yeah, let's take a couple days and think about that fifth one. But that's pretty good. We're locking in four already on this podcast. I like it.
This week's too easy, so I'll probably go like 7-7.
Yeah.
By the way. I didn't realize there's like four like useless teams on bye. So like fantasy, it's not going to be that hard this week like it was last week. You realize there's a 6-team bye coming up? Is that next week?
Yeah, I knew that there was upcoming. I couldn't tell you if it's next week or the one after, but I did know there was a six team. You know what's driving me crazy with the NFL is this is the second week in a row there's been two games in the afternoon. West Coast, it's 4 o'clock. It's East Coast, it's obviously, 7? But that's just absurd. Eight games on at 10 a.m. and two at 1? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. It might be because they think there's a window where most people watch and they don't want to – I don't know what the idea is. And they're really bad. Like the Giants game, I'm a Giants fan, and I was flipping to the Chargers blowout. That's how bad the game was. It was the Cowboys, they're really – I think the Cowboys are the worst team in the league to watch. I mean, obviously now without Dez and Romo. But they have nobody good, and they use the entire play clock. Like I like teams that hurry up. The Giants hurry up usually. Obviously the Eagles hurry up. A lot of teams, the Patriots hurry up. It's much more watchable. When you have as many commercials and penalties and challenges and all the stuff that they have, reviews, if you're also huddling for the full thing, it's not a watchable game. I don't have the attention span anymore for it.
Well, you got Dallas as one of the two games this week as well.
That's one of the late games, right, against Seattle. Like, that's going to be one of the worst games of all time. I'm going to predict that right now. I would make, if that were something we could bet on, I would use that in the contest.
All right.
It's going to be a bottom five bad game of all time. I would use that if I could count that in the contest. I would do it.
I don't know the chance of the non-zero chance of a player choking out a coach or something could make that at least worth watching. Greg Hardy.
That would definitely put it among the most great games of all time. I agree, but yeah, and also you realize worst five games of all time is a seriously high bar to clear. There's some, I don't know if you saw the Browns-Bengals on Thursday night last year, but to like clear that kind of game, that's not easy.
No, it's not. I'm holding you to that, though.
All right, we'll see. All right, man, well, I appreciate your coming on, and we will revisit next week.
All right, talk to you later, Liz.
That is Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. I'm Chris Liss of RotoWire. This is the East Coast Offense Podcast. You can subscribe to RotoWire, which you should do. It's free, rotowire.com/pod, 10-day trial. And if you want to check out this podcast on iTunes, subscribe to it, write us a nice comment. That would be great. Write us a terrible comment if you want. Just rate it well. A terrible comment, good rating, that's fine too. All right. Thanks for listening.